This episode of the Ottawa Entrepreneurs Podcast is brought to you by Extension Marketing, the marketing agency that specializes in unique needs and budgets of small to medium-sized businesses. They provide turnkey marketing solutions that get results. You can find out more today at extensionmarketing.com. Now here's your host, Pat Whalen.
Thanks so much, Christine, for taking the time to come on the show today. Really appreciate it.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me. This is so exciting.
Why don't we start off with an introduction, please? Tell us your name and your business.
Yeah, so my name is Kristen Baudouin, and I actually own two businesses. One of them is my own personal training business, which is Kristen Baudouin Fitness. Through that, I help a whole bunch of athletes. I help women that are pregnant to have a stronger, healthier pregnancy. I help them postpartum. I specify women in general. I do have male clients. It's just there's just a certain softness I find. And something that I personally never had growing up as an athlete, I never had a female trainer, which is why I like working with female athletes more specifically. And then I also have a gym called No Limits Fitness with my business partner, Jonelle, who is the other 50% of the business.
Wow. And why don't we start off with you, maybe tell us a bit about your background prior to becoming an entrepreneur?
Well, so funny enough, I used to be a high school teacher. So I did 5 years of teaching French literature. And the grade 11, 12, I absolutely loved teaching. I just hated the parameters of teaching, which sounds kind of bad, but I felt like I just wanted to teach a certain way. And I wanted kids to learn and develop and want to continue speaking French and listening to French music and being more fluent because it was French first language. It was a school. And I felt like it was always like implied that I had to teach certain books and certain things. Whereas now I feel like the teaching part that I absolutely adored, I get to keep. And yes, of course, there's still like got to start at the foundations and stuff like that. But I get to do teaching in a way that I absolutely love. And growing up, I was always very into sports, especially volleyball. So this is just kind of my way to continue that.
Nice. And
Thanks.
So did you go, you went from university to teaching and then right to the business? Was it the gym first or the personal training first? Or how'd that work?
Yeah, so funny enough, I ended up doing my entire French literature degree mixed in with the education and like to the point where I created the mentoring center at the education, the Faculty of Education. I was valedictorian in French literature and education. So I was very immersed into my university degree because I had, since I was like in grade 11, 12, I was like, I want to be a teacher. I know what I want. Don't even know what I want to teach, but I want to be a teacher. I want to be a high school teacher. And I went in my first year of teaching and then Doug Ford's cuts came in. And that's when I ended up having to take a cut. So I had had a 100% full-time position right out of university. And then the cuts came in and I had to take a 50% class cut. So there was like different regulations around that, which meant that if I accepted that, then I couldn't take it as like that was my new full-time position and I would have to work my way back up, which again, granted, it was my first year. I was like 22, just graduated. It's not a bad thing. It's not a bad place to be. I was very lucky to have my full-time position, but it all started off with, hey, we have a full-time position for you at another school if you can teach French in gym and you're going to be teaching gym a workout class. And I was like, okay, like I've been athletic. I can teach sports. And they're like, yeah, you're going to teach sports the second semester. First semester, you're teaching workout. And I was like, I worked out. I know what to do. But I was so terrified of someone getting injured. And it was a class of boys. It was a workout, grade 11, grade 12 boys. And I was like, how are they going to take me seriously? I am the 23-year-old teacher coming in and telling them, don't lift too heavy so you don't get hurt when I probably, they're lifting more than I weigh. How do we do this? So that's when I decided to get certified as a personal trainer. And as well as in the beginning, teaching doesn't pay very much. So it was a good way to subsidize my income. So I was like, perfect. It's a win-win. I'm going to be a better teacher as well as it can be my part-time gig because I feel like a lot of kids now, I say kids like back in the day, the early 20s, we almost have to have that. You know what I mean? We have to have the two jobs just because one of it is like, okay, this is my responsible income saving. And the other one is like my fun money. Like I get to go for dinner with a friend when I want to or get that. I'm trying to like, for me, it's running shoes. I love running shoes, but obviously I'm a trainer. So I'm always in comfy clothes. And so it just kind of started out as that. And then I really liked it and I kept doing it part-time. And then when COVID hit, me and my business partner, We couldn't train out of the gym we were working at. And so that's kind of how the business was created, is one of my friends was my client and she's like, "Well, we can train outside. I have a few friends that want to come." And I was like, "Okay." And then the group kept getting bigger and bigger. And he kind of looked at me and he goes, "Have you ever done a group that big before?" And I'm like, "No, actually. Did you want to come help me?" And he's like, "Okay." And then we started outside of Colonel By during COVID. And then when
Wow.
it regulations, yeah, it was like one for 10. I was like, perfect, we can have 20 now because there's two trainers. So we could just separate the groups and just keep going like that. And just because we wanted people to be able to stay in shape and be healthy, right? We understand the importance of mental health and physical activity. And we just didn't want to limit anyone because they didn't have access to a gym anymore, especially with the price of weights that went up like through the roof during COVID.
And did you just kind of cobble together your first couple of programs and learn from there and saw what worked and what didn't and then evolved it?
Yeah, so we started off as okay, like full body workouts, and then we started specifying more, okay, well, this will be strength and this will be more conditioning. Oh, okay, and then we just kept evolving. So when we started off, it was we were just teaching metabolic conditioning classes, we called them Metcon classes, and then we started developing like strength and then leg focus strength workouts, and then now then we added in mobility and then upper body strength, and now obviously the new fad is HYROX. And me and my business partner have both competed multiple times. We have other trainers that have competed. We've brought clients. And so now we also have HYROX classes, and it just kept growing and growing and growing to now we have an incredible community and they support us in all our crazy ideas and they're there for it. So it's perfect.
And what kind of timelines are we looking at now? So you start, training people outdoors at Colonel By, and then
Yeah.
today, that was 5 years ago, like at the peak of COVID. And okay, gotcha.
That's exactly it. It was peak of COVID. It was May 2021 is when we started our outdoor classes. Then we moved inside for that winter, and then we kind of bounced around a few gyms. And then where the gym where we worked at when it was back open, then we brought it there. And the owner of that gym was like, "Hey guys, I'm moving. I'm expanding. I'm doing it with or without you guys." And I was like, "Oh, okay." Like, we looked at the possibility of going with him. We looked at the possibility of other gyms, other spaces. And funny enough, like he moved and expanded. So he went from our gym is 4,200 square feet and he went to about 21,000 square feet.
Wow.
Yeah. So great adventure for him. For us, it lost the intimacy of the community feel. I've had women look at me and just be like, "I put makeup on because there's mirrors in the gym and I'm not comfortable." Right? Like to really, because personal training is very personal, you get into the nitty-gritty. I see my clients more than I see my friends, right? And
Yeah.
so sometimes you see them 2, 3 times a week, you get to talking, and then you really develop a good relationship with them. But that's the issue, is then it stays kind of, they want to keep that small feel. So that would have been in February 2024. He told us, he's like, I'm moving. And so we looked at it, and expanding with him would have cost us the same amount monthly as it's currently costing us. So we're like, well, it's a no-brainer. Like, we can have more authority. We can offer more to our members, because that was the other thing, is through that they would only get classes and they'd still have to pay full price for the membership, or like maybe $5, $10 off, which I was like, it's not really a good deal, and it doesn't incentivize people to come to my classes, because you could go to Movati and it's all included.
Right.
Right, because that's the other thing, we're competing with like commercial gyms in Orleans and stuff like that. And so for us, it just made more sense to take over the space where he left, because we loved the space. There was nothing wrong with the space. So put some elbow grease and gave it a whole makeover. Where the flooring, we put in the floor, like everything, and we had incredible people to come help us paint. We had clients come help us paint. We had family members helping us lug, because we also don't have an elevator. So we had to lug the Stairmaster up 2 flights of stairs. So thank you, family. And so, yeah, now we have our own space. So I guess we would say it's 5 years in the making, kind of. But now we're 1 year and a few months into our space, and we absolutely love it.
And so let's go back a little bit there. So at what point did you decide to, are you still teaching, I guess is the first question.
No, I'm no longer teaching.
Okay. So at what point did that transition happen? Like, was there a point in time you said, okay, I'm making enough money, or I'm passionate enough about this, or I've got enough, like, to kind of take us through that.
Absolutely. So the entire reason, I'm sorry, my throat.
That's okay.
Clearly, I'm getting over a cold. So for me, I ended up trying to take a sabbatical to go teach abroad. And so I had loved traveling. I wanted to keep traveling. So I had applied a few years and like it never worked out. So of course, cyclical, are we applying for a sabbatical? I was like, I want to apply to a sabbatical to see if I could teach abroad. And at that point, it wasn't even to teach abroad, but it's because right after COVID, I don't know if you know about the teaching structure and how it kind of changed during COVID.
A little bit, but not a lot.
Yeah, so the way it worked was high school teachers in the French Catholic School Board, which is where I taught, we teach, so we technically have 4 periods in a day. And so one of them is for your prep. So you can do all grading and this and that. But because of COVID, they wanted to limit the exposure. So what they did is they doubled up on classes. So you only had 2 classes, but that means that you could have like an easier semester. So you'd have 1 class and then like 2 hours of spare. But then you'd end up being with the next semester or the next quarter, you'd have 2 difficult cl or 2 classes. I just ended up having a terrible luck of the draw, and I had grade 11 pre-university French and grade 12 pre-university French, and those are both new classes for me. So keep in mind, I now have 64 students because they were full. There was 32 in each class. On top of now, I need to learn all the books. I need to, and like, for example, an essay would take me about 35 to 45 minutes to grade per student. And that was one essay. So that's not including the exam, that's same length. And then on top of that, we would have ISUs. And because I was the type of teacher, I didn't give any reason for a student to fail. Like, if you need to redo it, I'll. So, like, their ISU, for example, their independent study unit, I would let them, I would give them every feedback, but that was 10 articles, give them all my feedback, and then they could rework them. And so the workload was just so heavy. And granted, there was easier ways that I could have managed that, but it was the first time that I was teaching those classes, my first year in that new school. And also, like, no one gets into teaching to do the bare minimum. Like, have you, do you know what I mean? Like, you get into teaching because you want to help kids learn and you want to help them get better and grow. And on top of that, like, grade 12, like, scholarships are in play. And like, I worked at an underprivileged school and I've always kind of had that trajectory of underprivileged schools. So because of that, it meant more to me to be able to offer more to kids. And it's like, no, it's not just the kid that did nothing all year that's at a 48 that I'm gonna let do one little extracurricular to get to the 50. I'm like, the kid that has a B plus and needs an A minus average will also get that chance. Will I be like, my grading stays the same, but at least they have that opportunity to be better. And so after that, I was just exhausted. And I was like, well, I'm almost at full-time hours with personal training. I was like part time. So usually for full time, you're looking for about 25 hours a week. And I was at about 15 to 17 to sometimes hitting 20. And that doesn't include the classes I was teaching. So I was like, okay, I'm going to try this. And I remember my dad sitting me down being like, are you sure? And I was like, if there's one thing about me, dad, is I was like, if I need to get a job at Tim Hortons, I will get a job at Tim Hortons to make ends meet. And it's a sabbatical. It's a 1 year. I didn't quit my job. And also I have a French literature degree. Like, if there's one thing that I always hear is we're always looking for French teachers. And I've had teachers still reach out to me. Hey, are you sure you don't want to come back to teaching? I'm like, I'm good. Thank you. Good luck with that. So because I had taken a sabbatical, that's when I really immersed myself into the personal training world, learning more, being more, trying to get more clients. And then that's kind of when it shifted because I had worked at a commercial, more of a commercial gym, like Anytime Fitness, where there's just, it's a revolving door of new clients. Whereas now it's private side. So it's like, if you don't know about me, how am I supposed to get you in the door? So how do I get in front of you? How do I make sure that people know the services I offer and still market myself, even though I don't have the, I don't know what, 150 new members signing up every month, like a Movati? Do you know what I mean? So I think that was a reality check, but at the same time, I knew I was going to make it happen. So that's kind of when I transitioned to part-time trainer to then full-time trainer. And then with my business partner, we were growing and expanding and we wanted to do more. But that was another reality is growing your classes in someone else's space is very difficult, right? Because then there's only so much you can offer without it being detrimental to yourself and you're not making a livable wage. So then that just kind of kept going, kept going. And then My principal had offered us to come, and we gave 32 workshops on mental health. So for Mental Health Week, me and my business partner gave 32 workshops from grade 7 all the way to grade 12 on different subjects. So for the younger ones, it was the importance of physical fitness and the correlation with mental health, compared to like the other extreme is when we talked to like the grade 12s, and it was really more of the what's the difference between like stress, anxiety, and burnout, and how do you mitigate that? Because kids also have a lot of pressure these days to perform well and always get the best grades. And I fully agree, but at the same time, not to the detriment of no sleep, not to the detriment of your own health, of going for a walk. Right, little things like that, and it's just instilling how physical fitness can actually help and be a de-stressor for a lot of students as well. So very cool experience. And then after that, she's like, "We can give you gym next year if you want." And I was like, "I wanted to go back, but at the same time, my qualification, like I'm a certified personal trainer, and I even tried to bring that to the school board, and they don't recognize it. So I'd have to go back to
Oh.
high school to do my grade 12 biology." Do we understand that I'm clearly very aware of the body and how it works? So then I have to do grade 12 biology, then go do at least four classes in university of human kinetics, and then take my class to say that I'm a certified gym teacher. And I was like, oh my goodness, like this is ridiculous. So keep in mind that I am a certified high school teacher, I am a certified personal trainer and gym owner, and I still can't teach grade 11 workout. Right, it was just like an exception made last in that first school, which ended up developing my entire career. But
Really makes no sense at all. Okay, so
yeah,
kind of so now the decision is now easy at this point, right? Okay, I'm just going to go into this full time. So for our listeners that are that are thinking of starting a business, you were in a unique situation, right? You're working full time, and but you were doing this part time kind of I hate the term side hustle, but I don't know what else to use at this moment.
yeah,
Yeah,
exactly.
I just don't like it. It's overused. Anyway, so you got the side hustle going that's, generating a certain amount of income for you, and you're getting close to that gap where you say, you know what, I can make this work. So it's a pretty unique situation. Is that a format that you would recommend someone listening that is thinking of leaving their job to start a full-time business is to transition into it? I mean, it's the only one you know, I guess. So it worked for you, but what were some of the pitfalls of that, and what were some of the benefits of doing it that way?
So that's a great question because when I left teaching, I think I had maybe five teachers reach out to me being like, I'm not sure about this career anymore. I don't know if I want to do it. What made you do it? And actually, when I told everybody I was taking a sabbatical and what I was doing with my sabbatical, like at that school, so many teachers are like, great. I'm so happy for you. Like they didn't seem to still love the joy of teaching. And they're like, but I'm 15 years in. Like I'm not quitting my job now. And I was like, fair. I only had five. So I think the transition for me was more natural, and especially after COVID, because I saw, like, for example, my business partner, his two jobs were personal training and he was a bartender at the time. Well, what do you think was affected, right? So for me, that stability part was so important. And honestly, it was probably the hardest thing for me to mentally overcome in the beginnings, was I was so used to having a stable income, having benefits, having sick days, having vacation. Like, what do you mean I'm working Boxing Day?
Yeah.
Again, I'm my own boss, so I can choose to not. But at the same time, then I always do the les pour et contre, the for and against. And I'm like, well, it makes sense to be working because all of my clients are off. So I don't work as early and I don't work as late, but I still work during the day. So the transition for me was more of a natural one. But at a certain point, I also knew that if it didn't work out, I had something to fall back on, whereas I feel like maybe some people don't, which is the scarier part. As long as you trust your work ethic, I think is the biggest one for me, because I knew that regardless of what happened, I would pay my rent, I would pay my mortgage, I would pay my bills. There was nothing that was going to get in the way of that because I am a resourceful person. So even if it's not personal training, I was like, okay, if worse comes absolute worse and I need to go get like minimum wage job somewhere, I would do that because I'm willing to put in the time and the sacrifice for it. Granted, I don't have children. No one was depending on me except for myself. So I can completely understand also if you're like a parent, how fearful that can be. So different circumstances for different people, I think. But for me, it was just trust the work ethic and the rest will follow.
But you're making a really interesting point. And the very last sentence that you said was that it doesn't matter what you're, well, I'm paraphrasing, but it doesn't matter what your circumstances are, because even if you're single, even if you have people depending on you, either way, if you don't have the right work ethic, it's not going to work anyway.
Absolutely.
And you got to be resourceful. And all these things that you just said about, for some reason, you don't talk about your conversation with your dad. And, if this doesn't work out, I'll figure this out. And I think that's really, really important for anyone listening, that you got to be really honest and look in the mirror and say, are you that type of person? And if you're not, maybe starting a business full time at least is not the right thing for you. Would you agree with that statement?
Absolutely. And it's funny enough you mentioned that. So I did a post. So it was my birthday, my 30th birthday on Friday.
Happy
And so
birthday.
I, thank you. I actually made a post and I was like, the one thing I realize is your business doesn't just demand a part of you, it demands all of you. A personal trainer who's not available to her clients isn't a great personal trainer. If she doesn't want to work at 6 a.m., I'm like, well, when do you think people work out? They don't work out at 9 a.m., they got to go to work. Right. So it's like little things like that that I find, especially like now when I have staff and they're like, ooh, is it okay if I don't work at 6:30? And I'm like, how are you gonna make it in this industry? I'm like, okay, but then you have to trade off night times because some people do like working out at night. I personally can't. I feel like it just wires me and then I can't sleep. But again, there has to be a trade-off. I was like, I remember an entire summer when I was teaching, my summer's off. I was at the gym at 5:15 every morning. All weekday. So I never really got the summer off, but that's just who I am, is I have a good work ethic. Both my parents, very, very phenomenal working people. So both different fields. Like my dad worked in construction, my mom worked for the Canadian Medical Association. But just seeing the way that they progressed in their jobs and how it was so detrimental to give it your all. And like my parents would always tell me, like anything that's worth being done is worth being done right. And so having that as well to rely on, and it is your work ethic. If you do not like to work hard, you will, personally, I don't see how you could be successful starting a business.
Okay.
That's just the nature of it.
No,
You have to. It demands all of you. You have to be involved. You have to be picking up the phone. You have to be networking. You have to go and continue to do things for your business to grow. Right, but that's the other thing is I don't want to be complacent.
I agree 100%.
Yeah.
So the last question before we get into some of the cool community work that you were telling me before we went live,
Yes.
is what advice would you give to an entrepreneur that's looking at struggling? Like, I know it's been a relatively short journey for you, but I'm sure you've had your struggles. Is there any tips or techniques or anything you'd like to share with those listeners that could be struggling right now?
So it's funny because I'm the type of person that will always go back to, okay, we need to do this better. We need to do this better. We need to do this better. And through listening to podcasts and as well having discussions with my business partner who grounds me, he goes, but look at what we've accomplished in a year and a few months for our gym. And I was like, you're right. I find I don't take enough time to just see how far we've come because I'm like the perfectionist that always wants to do better and be better. And how can I grow and what can I do? And so I think the one piece of advice that I learned through all that was decide and stick to it. Make a decision and stick to it, whether it's a good one or a bad one. If you follow through, then you'll know faster. So if it doesn't work, okay, but at least you didn't wait like 3, 4 months going back and forth between the two alternatives and, asking clients and this and that, when the result will be the end. It, like in the end will be the same. So you may as well forgo those 4 or 5 months, make the decision, commit to it, and then learn from it.
Yeah, there's a saying now. I don't know if it's relatively new or not. So I've only heard about it last, but fail fast.
Yes.
If you're gonna fail, don't make it a 2 or 3 year fail because that's just gonna could destroy your business. But if you're gonna fail at something, if you fail, no problem. Just pick up and move on and forget about that and learn whatever lessons you need to learn, but then go forward.
No, absolutely. And I think you're absolutely right. Regardless, it's inevitable. If something isn't the right fit for you, for your brand, for your business, well, in 3 months from now, it won't be either. And you going back and forth and not deciding, just decide, commit, and go move forward. Obviously, reflect on it. Don't just say, oh, I want to paint my gym walls blue. But you know what I mean? Like if you're choosing to open up a different option or different pricing or whatnot, then commit to it, make sure all your ducks are in a row, and go ahead.
Okay, so before we went live, you were telling me that even though you're a relatively new business, you're committed to giving back. So take us through the recent program that you did.
Yes, so 2 weeks ago, we actually had at our gym a fundraiser for mental health initiatives. And so we were so fortunate. We raised so much money. We raised over $1,273 dollars. Or yeah, USD. And so all of that goes towards having affordable mental health initiatives in the community. So like affordable therapy, having group community to be able to discuss and have like a group support, kind of a support system. So I thought that was really, really exciting and really important, just because, especially having seen and having worked in high schools, understanding that there's so many people that could benefit from mental health initiatives, but unfortunately, like it isn't a luxury service at this point. It is super expensive to have a therapy session, could be what, like $150 minimum. So not everybody has benefits for that. Or if they do, that only covers like, let's say $500. That's not even five sessions. So it was super important for us to give back to that cause. And our gym, actually, like our boot camp itself, every Christmas we do canned good drive. So we've donated over, I want to say, like 30 boxes of canned goods since we've started to the Ottawa Food Bank. We've done a fundraiser for the Women's Interval House. We raised over $2,300 there. We were just shy of $5,000 for a fundraiser for CHEO. We do a lot of work with Munchies with Mike. So Munchies with Mike is a friend of mine who started a nonprofit who actually gives back to the homeless. I don't know if you know of him.
No,
Yeah. So he
no.
actually makes the food and will go hand it out on the street. Or he'll get donations from different places and go hand it out like in their hands, which is so rewarding. So we've done that about three times. We've made like care packages for them, like with the hand warmers and stuff like that for the homeless in Ottawa. And we've also done stuff with Hit the Ground Running, which is for trauma survivors, and we've worked with them as well to for their annual race. Every year we've done it, we've participated, and we've led their warm up. So we've done a lot in the community, and I think that's the one thing that does set us apart from all the other gyms and all the other communities, is we don't just say, we practice what we preach. We will give back. We don't have time, but we're still there. We're still there giving all our time for those less fortunate, because we are still privileged, because never in a million years did I think I'd be able to have what I have, right? And not everybody's there, but everybody needs a little bit of help sometimes.
Well, thank you for all that good work that you do in our community. And I know sometimes entrepreneurs or business people, they get this reputation. Oh, they're greedy and it's all about money. And that's really not, 99 out of 100 people I speak to, it's just not about that for them. It's about doing what they love. It's about giving back. It's about serving their community that supports them. And so anyway, really nice to hear. Before we let you go, where can our listeners and viewers find out more about your gym and your personal training business?
Yeah, so you can find us on our website at www.nolimitsbootcamp.ca. We also have an email, so you can reach out to us, or on Instagram at No Limits Fitness Gym, or myself at Kristen Beaudoin Fitness.
Great. Thanks so much for doing this today. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much for having me. This was a blast. Thank you.
If your company or organization is looking to improve your marketing, go to the Extension Marketing website at extensionmarketing.com and book a discovery call today.